Ephesians chapter 4. Also, if you will mark Psalms chapter 68, we'll be going there in the latter part of the lesson. Matter of fact, we'll be parking there a good bit in Psalm 68 tonight. Now, this lesson is I'm going to have to hit the highlights, so I'll be going pretty fast on a good bit of it. Because of time-wise, there's too much here to bring out in the amount of time that we have. So I've decided to kind of hit the highlights on some of it. Also, you cannot bring out the things that I really want to bring out in such a short period of time. We're going to be talking about salvation and the benefits and blessings and the gift that salvation actually contains, and the blessing and benefits that come with it. And there's no way that I can even get all of them, and I haven't even listed nowhere near all of them, in order to teach it, because it's impossible. With a lesson like this, it would take a series to of actually a month to really, if you break everything down like you should. So I'm just trying to give you a little bit of background and a little bit of what I'm thinking, so you can kind of stay with me. I want you to stay with me, because we'll be moving just a little bit fast. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 7, he says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Now, this is salvation here. Now, in verse 8, "Wherefore he said, we ascended up high, he led captive, and gave gifts unto men." Now, we're not going to teach on the spiritual gift as much as we are what salvation contains, the blessings and the benefits that comes with when a person gets saved. I know when I first got saved, I didn't realize what all I had. I didn't have a clue. And over the years, you learn a little here and you learn a little there. And there's so much to salvation that we take so much for granted. Now, a lot of times when you get a gift, it's kind of like a birthday. I'll use that for an example. They'll have it wrapped up in a box, in a pretty package. Well, this gift was wrapped up in a bloody package. But yet at the same time, there's so much to it that it contained. It amazed me that we think of it as one single unit. And in one way it is, but in one way it's not, because there's so many parts, incremental parts to it. So we'll go ahead and get started here on the gift. Now, salvation, and what are the benefits of salvation? What are the blessings of salvation, and what all do they hold? Number one is, as you and I well know, it holds eternal life. Now, that's a blessing in itself. But in John chapter 10, Jesus talks about the sheep know my voice. They hear me, and they will follow me. Now, I want you to think about this. Well, how much of a gift in salvation that we can hear the voice of God, that we're able to talk to God. God talks to us and we're able to talk to Him. Now, that's a gift within itself as we take and look at this. Also, I want you to take notice, a gift that we can able to hear the voice of God, because God's voice is not silent. I want you to think about that. It's loud to you and I, and especially when we do wrong. I'll be the first one to tell you. Or if God calls you to do a particular purpose or a particular thing, He speaks sometimes pretty loud to you. So I'm amazed at this. And I want you to think of something else about it. The second thing that salvation contains is eternal security. Now you stop and think about that just a minute. I didn't earn it. I didn't work for it. I can't do anything to keep it. It's all contained in what God gave me in that precious gift. Not only the voice of God, not only eternal life, not only eternal security, but the next thing I want us to look at, this is what I was talking about, this is where I'm moving pretty fast. There's the Holy Spirit. Now, as we look at, about the Holy Spirit here, there's several things about that, that the Holy Spirit does. And for an example, in some ways, what does the Holy Spirit have us to do? First of all, I want you to take notice, John chapter 16, verse 13, 14, 15. The Holy Spirit, there's only one Spirit. There's not a bunch of spirits you've got to worry about. There's not a bunch of spirits. We have to try the spirits to make sure they're of God. But I want you to think about this. The Holy Spirit comes, lives inside of you. Now, isn't that a special gift that you have? Now, that's God Himself Almighty. Now, I want you to think about that. That's the Lord Himself that's come living in you as we look at it. Number one, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Number two, He's going to guide you into all truth. Now, all of these is actually benefits that are in salvation that we have. And I want you to think about that. He will not speak of Himself. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. He shall speak whatsoever He shall hear from the Heavenly Father. That's what He's going to speak to us. He's going to glorify Jesus through us. I want you to think about that. Not only that, He gives us peace. The Holy Spirit gives us peace. Now, I don't know how many storms you go through, but I know a lot of times in my life I've been having a hurricane coming around. But one thing I've noticed when you really get in touch with God and He gives you that peace, it's kind of like the eye of a hurricane. I'll explain it that way. It's real calm. You can be real calm and have peace, but yet the storm is raging all around you. And you're able to go on and walk and do what you need to do because you have the peace of God. Now, that's another gift or benefit that we have. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4 here, I want you to look at verse 4. And I want you to think about this just for a second. There's one body, one spirit, just what we're talking about. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. First of all, I want you to take notice about this. All believers have a special calling. All believers have a special hope. These are benefits of salvation. Because God come to you on a personal basis. Now that's kind of amazing when you stop and think about it, all of this. All believers have something in common. And that's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But also they have something else in common. We're all looking for the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're all looking for that. And I'm kind of amazed at that. Next of all, is our faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, I want you to think about that. Now, all of these are benefits. I want you to think about it. I don't have to worry about Buddha. I don't have to worry about a whole bunch of gods. I only have to worry about one. And that's the one I worship. That's the one that saved my soul. That's the one that gave me all these benefits that contains in this package that you and I are talking about that we call salvation that we take so much for granted sometimes. And we do take salvation for granted sometimes because we forget what all God has done for us. And it's easy to do that. I know I do it sometimes. And I think everybody does at one point or another, no matter who we are. But also our faith is in Christ Jesus. And don't you think about it. He's God's Son. He's eternal. He's uncreated. He's holy. He's loving. He's true. He's self-sustaining. He's all things that we need, no matter what we're going through. We have a Savior that can do anything and carry us through everything. Now, I want you to think about this. This is a blessing. It's a blessing beyond amazing. One baptism. And when we get baptized, all we're doing is telling the world that we've been born again spiritually and we died out of sin. And that's amazing. We become a new creature. But I want you to go back up to verse 3. I want you to think about this. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Now, that little word endeavor, as I was studying some of the books and scholars I was reading, they said it was really meant studying. And that kind of puzzled me. And I said, no, it don't either. So I went ahead and I looked up in English, as old saying goes. And it meant to work at or keep the unity in English, but also in the Hebrew. In a sense, it was talking about studying. Now, and I looked at that and I wondered how. But as I read on down and I look at it, it'll come into play. And actually, it means both. And I'll bring this out here in just a second. I want you to really take a look at this as in just a minute as we get on down there. But endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bonds of peace. Now, here's something else I want you to think about is our family unity. You and I well know that the church is supposed to be in unity. We're supposed to be in one mind, one accord, serving and working for the Lord. That is why we gather together. We gather together, number one, to get fed spiritually. That's why I come to church. I need to be fed. If I don't come to church, I don't eat. And you get hungry, you get starved. Spiritually is what I'm talking about. Now, but also the reason I come to church is because I have brothers and sisters in Christ. And we all are supposed to have the same goal, working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they're all in unity. They're never out of sync. Now, I want you to think about that because, first of all, in family unity, God has absolute power. He's absolute in His purpose, and nowhere is more evident than Calvary. Now, we also abide in His presence. That is a special gift that we have, that of the benefits that we have when we come to church, or even, I know what I'll just put it to you this way. When I go in my little office and I get studying and I get in touch with God, there's nothing like it. When you come to church and God starts moving and God starts touching your heart and we start worshiping the good Lord, there's nothing like it. These are benefits of having the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and in our life and being born again. Spiritually, there's nothing like that. But endeavoring to keep the unity, another thing that He did, the Lord Jesus did, He set up the church. I didn't set it up. It's a benefit that God set His church up just for you and I. Now, I want you to think about that. The church is set up for born-again Christians to worship and glorify Him, but also is set up for lost people to get saved and become part of the church. It's focus. God has a purpose. And His purpose is for people to get saved, but also His purpose is to take care of His people. To, like I said, set a church. Now, I'm not going to touch on a whole lot of spiritual gifts, but I want you to drop down here in verse 11. Now, this is just touching on the church here just for a second. Because the church and what most people, you know, if they would do the will of God, endeavor to work to keep the unity, study the Word of God, know the will of God. This is where the studying comes in. You wouldn't have division. You really wouldn't. You would be in unity because you would know what God would have you to do. Now, in verse 11, it says He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, He gave for the church, for a benefit, for a particular reason. But now, if you want to go to Corinthians, which I'm, like I said, I don't have time, you find all other kind of gifts that He give the church through each individual person. But He just here is just listed just a few. Now, we don't have apostles anymore; they're gone. They were endowed with special gifts for the infant church to survive and to grow through. Now here, and prophets. Now, well, we don't have prophets per se like we did in the Old Testament. But if you want to know about the future, just go to Revelation. Get in the book, endeavor, or study to know the Word of God. To know what's going to happen. God's already done told us what's going to happen. We already know the future that's coming down. And yet we get upset about everything that's going on, which we shouldn't be. We shouldn't have. But also he gave some evangelists. Well, I'll just use Billy Graham for an example. His ministry, evangelist, really works towards lost people. That's what evangelism's for. Mainly it's for the lost and works for it, but also a pastor. But also, he gives some pastors. A pastor, everybody thinks in most churches, has got to do everything. Well, that ain't what the book says. That's not how the church is set up. And that's what I'm talking about. If you would study to work at, to see the benefits that God has set aside for the church, we wouldn't have any problems. If we all did what the Word of God said to. Now, that's the thing about it. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now here we go. Here's some more blessings. Blessed us with all what? With all spiritual blessings. Do you realize what you have? It didn't say one. It didn't say two. What did it say? All. God has given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, well, you say, well, where are heavenly places? Where's it at? In what? In Christ. Our spiritual blessings is all in Him. What a gift. It's amazing what God has done for us. Stop and think about it. Drop down to verse 6. Now, this one here really, it kind of busted really my bubble pretty good. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us, what? Accepted. In what? In the Beloved. Now, I want you to stop and think about this just a minute, what I'm fixing to tell you. Now, I want you to just realize something just for a second. The greatest psychological need for human beings is to be accepted by other people. Now, you take teenagers, and I'll just use them for an example. How much to the extreme do they go to be accepted by their peers? They can have purple hair. They can have earrings in their nose. They can have earrings everywhere. They do everything under they can, fashions, no matter what it is. They want to be accepted by their peers. But now, is it any different, don't you think about this, when we have somebody to first join the church, what do they want? They want to be accepted. They're one of God's children. But first of all, that's why it's so important that we make people feel welcome and part of the church. But I want you to take notice something. Jesus made a way that we are accepted in the Beloved. I didn't go to Him. I didn't ask Him to be accepted. It won't have nothing to do with Him. But He come to me. He come to you. Now I want you to think about this. You're accepted as God's children. One of His own. He has made you accepted when you become a child of God. Period. And nothing can take that away. What a benefit that you and I have. Next of all, I want you to take notice in verse 11, if you'll drop down. in whom we also obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh after all the things after the counsel of His will. We have an inheritance. We have a reward coming. Not only do we get blessed down here with rewards, but we got more rewards coming that we don't even know about. That this gift, our eternal life, contains blessings and benefits that God has put in this package that you and I have. I'm kind of amazed at that, really. It just amazes me what all is in here, and I'm just up here just touching. Not even getting in depth with it. And that amazes me. I'm amazed at our inheritance. I'm amazed at what God has done for you and I and me. And I want you to stop and think about His church. Look around. Who come to you? Who give you all this? Who give it to me? Yeah. It's kind of amazing, isn't it? Now, let me ask you a question. How much do we thank Him for it on a daily basis? And I'll just be honest with you. I have yet to understand why people don't enjoy what God put it in my heart, and I know that, but why people don't study and know how the church is set up, know what God has done for the church, know how it's supposed to function, know how it's supposed to run, know everything about it, and endeavor to keep the unity of the faith. We all hear about the divisions. We all hear about churches splitting up. We all hear about problems. But what about the good things? It's easy to hear about the bad. But what about the good things? I just thank Jesus for what He's done for me. What He's given me. And everything that I have through Him. Nobody else. Not man, not the world, nothing. It's all about Jesus and what He has done for you and I. I'm kind of amazed at that. If you got your Bibles now, let's go to Psalm 68. Now I'm going to park here just a little bit. This is kind of amazing because I'm going to have to explain a few things. So, as when I read this, I didn't see much of it either. If you want to know the truth, what I'm going to bring out, I was kind of amazed at it, really. But you know, when you have commentaries and dictionaries and all different kind of books, and I'm always trying to buy books and things because I love studying. I love trying to teach the Word of God, and I can't ever learn enough. And it's just impossible because you can't ever get a handle on God for one thing, and you can't ever get a handle on His book for another. It's just impossible. It's just too much there. But anyway, let's read verse 16. Why leap ye high hills? This is the hill which God desired to dwell in. Yea, the Lord would dwell in it forever. Now, here, as we look at this, he's talking about Zion or Israel, basically, as it's starting off. But I want you to look at this in a different light. Now, I want you to pay close attention to what I'm fixing to say. Now, I want you to look at the glory of the church through these three verses that I'm going to bring out. And it's kind of amazing when you really look at the glory of the church. First of all, like I said, I want you to look at the verse as the illustration of the glory of the church of God. Number one, I want you to look at it this way. It consists in being the dwelling place of God. I want you to take a look at that. God desires to dwell in. God has a desire, listen to me, to dwell in His church. I want you to think about that just for a minute. That is a gift within itself. As we look at this, Zion is spoken of here as the hills which God desires to dwell in. Today, the Most High desires His church to reveal His will, which is a gift, by the way, from God, to reveal Himself to you and I. That's a special blessing. That's a special benefit. Unfortunately, most people don't want to know the will of God, or a lot of people don't, because they're going to have to do something. Or I'll just put it to you this way, very plain. I know I've asked God some things, and He answered me, and I didn't like His answer. I even got mad, because it wasn't the answer I was expecting. I was expecting something else. And it's amazing how we can get so upset with our Creator because we cannot comprehend how great He is and His knowledge that's so much better for you and I, and that road He has chosen for you and I to walk down. But yet I want to walk my way. That amazes me. I'm talking about me. I don't know about you. I just know how I am sometimes. And it's just kind of amazing about that. But it's a gift, His will. But also, put faith in His saving power. That is a gift. Now, if you look around, like I said a while ago, you'll see God's power all around. His saving power. That long arm of salvation that He reached down and saved you with and touched you and brought you around. It amazes me. But also, I want you to take notice of something else in verse 16. God desires to dwell in. All right. He has chosen to dwell in Zion. Look at the divine election of grace that we have here. It's just amazing here. In which God desires to dwell in. Yea, the Lord would dwell in it for what? Forever. All right. I want you to think about this. The Lord is never going to leave His church. The Lord's never going to leave you because you are His church. It's not this building. You are the church of God. If you've been born again spiritual, God is never going to leave His church, period. It's His desire to dwell in you and through you and for you. What a benefit that we have. So great a salvation that we have. It's His desire to do that. And yet, it's hard to get people to be faithful just to gather together. And look what all God has done for them and for me. Now, I know I fail Him. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, oh, Lord, yes. Maybe more than most, but I'm so grateful to Him for what He has done for me. Now, He's going to dwell with us permanently. The Lord is going to dwell in it forever. What a special gift that is. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. Next, I want you to look at this. And I want to bring out something here. Now, let's read just a little bit more here. Now, verse 17, the chariot of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them in Sinai in the holy place. Now, back up here, as you look at why leap ye at the high hills, and I'm going to bring out some about the chariots here in just a minute. But when we look up at the high hills, I'm going to bring out something here. As we look at this, the high hills here represents the world. If you want to look at it in sense, it's called Bashan and extended from the border of Gilead on south to Mount Hermon, which was on the north of this area that we're looking at here. This is where it describes in some of the books I was reading. Now, Mount Hermon on the north side went up 10,000 feet. That was the highest peak anywhere around. Now, I want you to look at this in comparison to Mount Zion or the church. Now, the world has this big mountain up here, okay? And the church don't have a high mountain up here. The world does. They're overlooking Zion and looking down on them. Now, when the world looks at the church today, What do they see? When the world looks at church today, they look at, for an example, that we are lower than they are. We get criticized. We get talked about. We get put down. The church and a Christian this day and age is on what? I call it the short end of the stick. Am I right? I mean, can we kind of, well, just look at our country. We're kind of on the short end of the stick. Now, but I want you to stop and think about something. What do they have over God's people just because they're up here on the mountain? What do they really have? Now, I want you to look at this. We're talking about God's church. And we're talking about the heathen. And how they look at us and how they criticize us and how they put us down. And here's God's people. Here's the church. But did you know and realize, and I want you to think about this, the church is actually higher than they are. Much higher. The world cannot offer you anything what God has already given you. The world can offer you trouble, trials, and tribulations because we deal with that even as a Christian. But as God's people, isn't it better to be honorable? Isn't it better to be honest? Isn't it better to be spiritual? See, God's glory is never lower than the world. He made the world. This is what I want you to see. His glory is always higher than anything. His church is higher than anything. It's special. It's set aside. Where are you going? Now, I want you to think about it. You're going to heaven. In John 10 and 28, he says, I've given them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, I want you to think about this. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In other words, nothing can separate you from God. Nothing. Now, that's another benefit that you and I, you talk about eternal security. Now, buddy, we all look for security in this world. There's not any. There's not any. The only security that a person has is through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, period. That's it. Now, I want you to stop and think about it as we look at all of this. The security of the church is not in this building. It's not in how much money we have. It's not in how many members we have. At all. Don't have anything to do with it, really. Our security is all in Christ Jesus. It's all in our Savior. It's all in our salvation. It's all in that package for this being blessed and the benefits that you and I have that we call salvation. We're never going to perish. He said He'd never leave you, nor what? Never forsake you. No matter who you are. As a Christian, a born-again believer. Now, last night, our power went off. And I had to get up and go to the restroom, and it was so dark. I had to find the wall. In my mind, I knew where everything was, right? Well, I went on past the door and bumped into the dresser on the next wall because I couldn't see. Couldn't see anything. Finally, I backed up and went in. And I thought, man, I'd hate to be blind. Because when I opened my eyes, even in bed, I couldn't see nothing. I mean, it was so dark. It was one of them, it was just pitch. It was totally dark. And then as I was re-studying my lesson this morning, I thought about a lost person. They're doing the same. They're doing the same. They're going around trying to feel their way through life, bumping into this and bumping into that. Because the light hadn't been shined under them. And it's up, listen, God uses you, you and you and me to shine that light. He gives pastors, He gives teachers. The reason is so that we can grow as a church and as a unity in one mind and one accord serving Him. He gives you spiritual gifts, you and you and you and you and me, to work for the ministry of His church, His bride, His people, and most of all, to the lost people. Stop and think about it. Would you hate to be blind? Just close your eyes. I'd hate to be blind, but I once was. Oh, I once was, but not anymore. Thank the good Lord about that. But I'm amazed at all of this as we look at this. Now, on the chariots, do you remember Elisha? And Syria, the king of Syria, sent down an army of chariots, which they were war chariots and all of that, to capture one man, Elisha. And he had a servant with him that stayed with him, Ghazi, I believe was his name. And they went out, and here come all this army. And Elisha said, "Lord, open up Ghazi's eyes." And when he did, all the mountains had chariots of fire all around. They couldn't see them. But listen, you and I are not blind. Oh, we are not blind. Can't you see what God's got for us? Can't you see the benefits and the blessings that come with salvation? How great, so great a salvation. You've heard that spoken many times. But the more I looked at this and the more I thought about this, I thought, oh man, look what I have. Look what I got. It just amazes me what I have, what God's given me, that precious gift. But go down to verse 19 and take a look at this, and we'll try to wrap up real quick. "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Now, wait a minute. I want you to I almost took this verse out of context, and I don't want you to do that. Here, he's talking about salvation. Now, what did I mean he's talking about salvation here? Well, blessed be the Lord. I want you to think about that. Who daily loadeth us. Now, we're talking about temporal blessings. You're talking about future blessings. But also, he's talking about when you have burdens here, when you have storms, and when you have trials, and you have troubles, and you have tribulations, God has loaded you with daily benefits that you can get through because of what salvation contains here. On a temporary or temporal basis, God loadeth salvation down with benefits just for you and I, that no matter what we go through, we can get through it. Our problem is I'll just be honest with you, when tragedy strikes, we question, which I can understand. I've been there. I've done that. You don't know. Nancy and I have been through a lot, but so has everybody else. And I'm amazed at what you go through from time to time, what God really does. He can give you that peace even though you're in a storm. It doesn't matter if you have cancer. It doesn't matter what you have. We want to cling on sometimes too much to this world down here. Our hope is in Him. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. My faith is in Jesus. I hear a lot of people talk about having faith on television. Well, he's a man of faith. Well, what's he got his faith in? I don't ever hear that. I got faith in my car. It's going to get me here tonight. But that ain't going to get me to heaven. My faith is in Him because I know who I met. I've never doubted who I met. Never. A lot of people do, and that's okay. I understand it, and I can understand it. But when I met the Lord, I've never, ever been the same. Never, ever. Now, have I sinned? Oh God, yes. But He has secured me. He's made me accepted in the Beloved. There's one other thing I want to bring out. Now, I know I'm running over, but the fruit of the Spirit. See, that's some more benefits that we have in salvation. What are the fruit of the benefits? Well, first of all, Galatians 5 and 22, as you well know, first thing is listed is love. I never knew what love was till God loved me. Really, it amazes me. There's a certain amount of joy that you have as a Christian that you can't get anywhere else. You can't buy it. You can't sell it. It's a gift. Stop thinking about it. It's a gift. It's a blessing. Peace, long-suffering. Brother Randall will tell you this. I've always told him I don't pray for patience because I know what's coming. But you know what I've found out? It don't matter where I pray for it or not. It's still coming. But what's that fruit of the Spirit? What is it? Long-suffering is what? Patience. I already have it. I just don't want to use it. To be honest with you, I just don't like trouble. Just don't want to use it. And there's gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. But I do have the light of Jesus. Thank the Lord, and I can see. That just touched me last night and this morning when I couldn't see. And when I just reviewing this lesson, I thought, oh me, what do I have? Anyway, I hope you've enjoyed it. May the good Lord bless you.